In Buddhism, as I've said, there are many exercises to help us develop awareness, mindfulness, but we should be very careful to see that they do not become mechanical. Those of you who practice, for instance, mindfulness of breathing, counting the breaths, know that even this can become mechanical. You can go on doing it. Some people are rather skilled at this. Go on doing it. At the same time, allow your minds to go wandering and drifting and wool gathering. Some people are so clever at this that they can do all the exercises beautifully, perfectly. Count 1 to 10, 1 to 10, over and over again for hours on end. But they can keep up a continual reverie, eh, at the same time. So this means that the whole thing has become mechanical. So we should be very careful that our practice of mindfulness itself, which is the demechanicalizing catalyst, as it were, doesn't itself become mechanical. And this applies in a much broader, more general way to all our religious beliefs and all our religious practices, which, as I've said, are only too often part of our general mechanicalness. If ever I hear anybody say, "Oh yes, of course I'm going to the Sunday seminar, I always go," then the chances are that I shall say, "Please don't come." It's becoming a habit. And from a spiritual point of view, any habit is a bad habit. There are some spiritual teachers, even in the East, who make a habit, but I shouldn't say a habit, of course, but sometimes they do this, of breaking up the religious habits of their disciples. If the disciples are used to meditating from 6 until 8, the teacher makes him meditate every now and then from, say, 10 until 12. Or if he's in the habit of reading religious books at a certain time, he makes him stop it. If he's in the habit of getting up early every day, he makes him get up late. If he's in the habit of going to bed late, he makes him go to bed early, and so on. If he's in the habit of meditating during the day, he makes him meditate all night. And in this way, he breaks up his pattern, his repetitive pattern, which is becoming, as it were, mechanical. And you can see this in so many ways, in so many spheres. If you go about the religious world, you can see religious groups, religious organizations, which have just become machines. They function perfectly, beautifully, smoothly, but just like machines, not like real living movements. They don't flow, they don't flower, they don't develop, they have no creativity. Just over and over again, the same old round, the same old pattern of activities. So we have to be very careful of this. We have to watch. And of course, above all, we have to watch ourselves. And though we ourselves, and when I say we ourselves, I mean the friends of the Western Sangha, though we are busy, we hope, creating, we hope, patterns in a sense of activity for the future, retreat weeks and meditation classes, we hope. And we have to bear this in mind all the time. It doesn't just become another routine. It doesn't just become another pattern, beautifully labelled Buddhist activities. Every now and then, mindfully, we have to sort of break it up, keep it loose, keep it flowing, keep it free. Otherwise, we just settle down. We can become just another branch of the good old firm, as it were, of, well, you can call it the establishment or whatever you like, whatever settles down into death, as it were, on the level of the reactive mind and the reactive consciousness. Sometimes in the East, people have said to me, very proudly, "I'm a born Buddhist." Well, how can you be a born Buddhist? You can't be born as a Buddhist. This is all the reactive mind at work. You can make yourself a Buddhist, creatively, but you can't be born as a Buddhist. This is not possible. You can't just take your Buddhism from outside, from your parents or your group, even your class, even your teacher. You can't just take it ready-made and react to it. Prompted, or as it were, stimulated, inspired from outside, you create it all from within. Now, I think this came up very clearly. I hope it came up very clearly, at least, in the talk which I gave the day before yesterday when we were dealing with archetypal symbolism. There's a little stimulus from outside which sparks off something within. But it's the process within, the creative process, the flowering within, which is all important. So this is what we have to be aware of all the time. These two processes of the mind, the lower mind, the relative mind, the reactive process and the creative process. The fact that we are here at all, the fact that we can understand these words, the fact that we can even laugh at ourselves, this shows that the germs of awareness are there, and the germs of creativity are there. We have to bear this in mind all the time, to bear in mind this distinction, try to increase and enhance and enliven the creative side and allow the reactive side to just fade and wither away, as it were. And we can bear all this in mind with the help, with the aid of these two great symbols. That is to say, the wheel of life, upon which we are bound at present for the most part, symbolizing the reactive mind, and on the other, the path, or if you like, the circle, and on the other hand, the spiral. We have to leave behind that circle, and up on the rings of that spiral, even to what we call nirvana, enlightenment, or if you like, the pure land. There we have eventually to go.